In the meantime, we've got a scathing report into our education system. It's called Everything from a Mess to Our Most Serious Issue, New Zealand Education Delusion. That's the title of the report. It's found that in the last 20 years, we've taken our world-leading education system and let it slip into mediocrity. Big part of that is because child-centred orthodoxy, meaning teachers have been forced to let students lead and their roles in schools have changed rather than simply teaching knowledge. Now, the author of this report is Briar Lipson, who's with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
How do you come to this conclusion? Is it specific or is it philosophical?
It's most definitely a philosophical problem in New Zealand. I firmly believe you could throw more and more money at education and it would make very little difference to outcomes. What we've got is an underlying ideology, a kind of philosophy in education that's almost like the air that we breathe, and we don't even recognise it sometimes. But child-centred kind of orthodoxy has gone from a kind of noble aspiration in New Zealand to a problematic idea. And the evidence is very clear. The OECD collects data every 3 years on the performance of 15-year-olds in core areas like reading and maths, and we've gone from really, really the envy of the world in the year 2000, when we were third for reading and third for maths, and we're now sixth for reading and 19th for maths. And that means basically our 15-year-olds currently perform the way 13-and-a-half-year-olds did in maths just 20 years ago.
Are we doing anything that other Western countries aren't doing, but not doing it that well, or are we doing something that no other Western countries are doing and therefore failing because of it?
So there's definitely an international phenomenon whereby the pendulum can swing too far in favour of putting children leading their learning and all that stuff. And basically, New Zealand seems to be really at an extreme end of that spectrum. Other countries have woken up to the flawed idea, the flaws in this otherwise noble idea, and they've rolled back and they've put teachers at the back of at the core of schooling, and they've put knowledge at the back of at the centre of it. And you know, on some level, child-centred schooling is a complete no-brainer. Like, who wouldn't want that for your children? You don't want teachers treating them all like they're all the same, like widgets in a machine. But we've just gone too far in the other direction, and you see that in open-plan classrooms, this proliferation of bean bags and children sitting on the floor and collaborating and letting children choose. And the problem is it's not an effective way to develop the things we want, the skills like creativity and problem-solving and critical thinking actually belong in specific domains. You know, you need knowledge of math. You need knowledge of history and of the world. And if someone doesn't teach you that explicitly in school, the chances are you're not going to get it. And unless you're getting it around the dinner table in your middle-class home, then it's even worse. So it's terrible for equity, this approach.
But here's your problem, having had five kids through the education and they're still in the education system, even when you say this and you can't argue with the fact that we've gone down because stats are stats, they won't change it because they don't want to change it because you're wrong and they're right.
Well, I'm afraid evidence is on our side, and there are a load of schools in New Zealand. They're what I call the kind of voiceless minority who just quietly raise two fingers to the ministry, metaphorically, and get on with what they know works, and they put teachers at the front of classrooms, and they teach a knowledge-rich curriculum. And, you know, if it weren't for those schools who are not the darlings of the ministry and don't, you know, they don't go around shouting about what they do, but parents know, and, you know, they have huge roles, 2,000, 2,500 kids going to them, some of these secondary schools. But they're not the ones that are lauded and held up by the ministry. And they are the ones following the evidence and the science of how we learn. And it's time that our research community and our ministry caught up with the international, you know, it's resounding, the cognitive science, the empirical studies, and just common sense. You know, take a rugby player. They know that in order to be prepared, a professional rugby player, to be prepared to take on the Springboks next year, the best thing they can do is do lots of training that mostly doesn't look like playing a game of rugby. You know, Beauden Barrett knows how to pass the ball, but he's still practicing it for hours and hours on end. And he's in the gym doing weight training, and he's doing Pilates, and they're practicing set plays and line outs. And that kind of explicit practice with coaches who are experts just makes total sense to professional sports people. And yet we think in the classroom, oh, we can just skip all the hard work and the rote learning and the knowledge, and we'll just jump straight to the skills. Let's have a curriculum, which we do, which is put skills front and center. So all this stuff about collaboration and critical thinking and problem solving, yeah, that's what it wants for kids, but it's not the route to get them there. The route to get them there is to study English and grammar and literature and spellings and times tables and history and scientific methods. And we just got it all the wrong way around.
Brian, appreciate your time very much. Brian Lipson, New Zealand education delusion, as the text says. Love that woman, please, clone. 17 to 7.
Auckland is still...